Present.
Tatra.
There.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Madhusudanaha.
Madhusudana.
Smritya.
By remembrance.
Achesha Ashubha.
Of everything inauspicious.
Param.
Which takes away.
Sarvamangala.
Of all auspicious things.
Mangalam.
The most auspicious.
So translation.
The Lord Madhusudana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally present in Dwarka. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious places, and merely remembering it destroys all contamination. So there's no purport to this text, nor the next few texts, so I'll just read to the end of the chapter and then we'll speak. Text 25.
Sri Balabhadraha Dhyanata Sheshandananjayaha Indra Pashtam Samavesha Vajram Tatravya Shichyat.
Arjuna took the survivors of the Yadu dynasty, the women, children, and old men, to Indraprastha, where he installed Vajra as the ruler of the Yadus. Text 26.
Sutva Suridvatam Rajam Arjuna Te Pitamaha Vam Tu Vamshadaram Kritva Jagmu Sarve Mahapatam.
Hearing from Arjuna of the death of their friends, my dear king, your grandfathers established you as the maintainer of the dynasty and left to prepare for their departure from this world. Text 27.
Yaita deva devasya Vishno karmani janmacha kirtayat shradaiva marcha sarva papai pramuchyate.
A person who with faith engages in chanting the glories of these various pastimes and incarnations of Vishnu, the Lord of all Lords, will gain liberation from all sins. And finally, text 28.
Itam harir bhagavato ruchiravatara vijnani vada charitani cha santamani anyantra chaya cha shrutani granan vanusho Bhaktim param paramahamsa gato bhaveta.
The all-auspicious exploits of the all-attractive incarnations of the Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also the pastimes he performed as a child are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other scriptures. Anyone who clearly chants these descriptions of his pastimes will attain transcendental loving service unto Lord Krishna, who is the goal of all perfect sages. So thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, in the 11th canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. The 11th canto was completed at the new Gokula South American pilgrimage site, state of Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Friday, March 26, 1982. So end of the 11th canto. So Om Aganat, Tibananda Shadhanam Janam Shalapaya Japshur Om Minitam Nina Tasmai Shadavaya Maha. So in this part of the 11th canto, we find described the disappearance pastimes of Krishna. This is called also the Mosha Leela. And in this Leela, we find something very interesting happening, that the Yadu dynasty self-destructs. They kill each other. Some of you may know this story. And the way they kill each other is that they all get drunk. And they get drunk on rice wine. So we find the danger of intoxication in this particular story. But many years before they all got drunk and they killed each other, they were cursed to kill each other. Some of you also may know this story. After the battle of Kurukshetra, in which all the sons of Dhritarashtra were killed, Dhritarashtra's wife, Does anyone know who Dhrishtarasa's wife is? What's her name? Gandhari. That's in the children. You're an old child. Too old. So, that's not an insult to the children. So, Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, she was very upset and also very powerful. We'll ask you all, why was Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, very powerful? Because she had performed an austerity. What austerity had she performed? Any of you girls know?
She put a cloth around her eyes so she couldn't see.
So she couldn't see for so many years just so she wouldn't be better than her husband. And her husband was blind. So, because of that, she was so powerful that at one point she tried to make her son, Duryodhana, completely, what we call, invulnerable, his body like steel. Because when she took off her blindfold and was able to look at his body would become like steel. So, but Krishna was very tricky. He arranged that actually he would cover part of his body, the middle section of his body. And so the whole body would become like steel, except the middle portion around the thighs. And later on, Krishna arranged for who to kill Duryodhana. Who? That was louder. Bhima, by hitting him with a club on his thighs, which is not legal. You're not supposed to hit someone with a club on their thighs when you're club fighting. You're only allowed to hit person up here. Remember that next time you fight with someone. Next time you use a club or a baseball bat, only hit them above the waist. And that's bona fide where you kill someone. So, of course, Balaram was very upset with that. And also Gandhari was very upset with the whole thing too. So Gandhari had not used up all of her powers by looking at Duryodhana's body. She had a lot more power left. So when Krishna came at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, along with the Pandavas, to talk to Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, several things happened. First of all, Dhritarashtra was very, very angry. And Dhritarashtra had the strength of 10,000 elephants. So his plan was to give a big hug to Bhimsen and crush him to death. So instead, Krishna arranged that Bhimsen would put a statue of himself in front of Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra would crush the statue. Why was there a statue of Bhimsen? Because that was the practice statue that Duryodhana was using to hit. It was made of iron. And Dhritarashtra crushed that. Of course, later on, Dhritarashtra apologized, and he was very happy he had not killed Bhimsen. But Gandhari was so angry, and she blamed Krishna for all of the killing of her sons. So what happened is, first of all, Yudhisthira came forward, and it's described that Yudhisthira Maharaj had very, very nice feet, beautiful toenails and everything like that. And she looked, that Gandhari looked under her blindfold, and when she looked under her blindfold, the toes and the feet of Yudhisthira curled up, almost like Sarpanaka's hands. You know, Sarpanaka means long nails. Long, long nails. That's it. Everybody knows who Sarpanaka is? Sarpanaka was Lord Ramchandra's girlfriend. And she tried to be Lord Ramchandra's girlfriend. Nowadays, you find people like that, many of the ladies like that, long, long nails. And that's like imitating Sarpanaka. One time I was in an airplane, and I was sitting next to a lady who was putting her nails on. She didn't have long nails, so she glued long, not that long. She glued nails onto her fingernails, to get off to meet her boyfriend. That's Sarpanaka. Anyway, so Yudhisthira's toes curled up and the nails curled up, but Gandhari was still angry. And so then she said to Krishna, "Krishna, because you have caused my whole family to kill each other, your whole family is going to kill each other something like 30-something years, 36, 37 years from now. And what did Krishna do? He didn't get angry. He said, Hare Krishna. No, he didn't say Hare Krishna. He said, I accept your curses. Why did Krishna accept the curses? Because he wanted his whole family to leave after he left, or to leave before he left. Because they were so powerful, they would have created problems. So then Krishna reads this whole interesting story that there was this young boy named Samba. And he was Jambavati's son. So he went to the sages, and he wanted to tease the sages along with his friends. So this Samba, he put a pillow in his stomach, on his stomach, not in his stomach, obviously. And he put on a sari. And the other boys said to the sages, including Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, and some of the other great sages, they said to him, this young girl is expecting a child. What type of child is she going to have? The sages, knowing that they were being made fun of, got very angry. And they said, this girl is going to give birth to a club that's going to destroy your whole family. And so they all got scared, ran back to the king named Ugrasena. And the king said, when the club came out, he said, let's grind up the club into little tiny pieces and throw them in the ocean. So they ground up the club into all these little tiny pieces, throw them in the ocean. And those pieces floated back and they became the seeds for like these really strong canes of bamboo and things like that. They were so strong they were like iron. And those canes were used by the members of the Yadu dynasty to beat each other to death when they were drunk. And that one arrow, one piece, they couldn't grind up, it was like an arrowhead, was the arrow that was shot at Krishna. And then Krishna left this world. So that's the Moksha Lila story. So after that happened, Arjuna was told to take all the queens of Krishna away from Dwarka, because Dwarka was going to be flooded. And as he was taking all the queens away from Dwarka, many of them got kidnapped. Of course, the kidnappers were actually expansions of Krishna. And also, later on, Krishna's grandson, great-grandson, the son of Aniruddha, is mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, was born. His name was Vajra. And he's a very interesting person. Because this Vajra, he later on took the remaining queens of Krishna and went back to Vrindavan to see where Krishna had performed his pastimes when he was very young. Because all the queens were interested in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Why were they interested? Because the queens were expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. So they wanted to see Vrindavan. So Vajra brought them back to Vrindavan, and he had a kirtan, and in that kirtan, Krishna and the gopis and everybody appeared. And then Vajra went around Vrindavan and installed the deities that are the main deities of Vrindavan. I think you've all heard of Madan Mohan, Radha Chandrasundar, Radha Govinda. You've all heard of these deities? So he was the one who installed all these deities as well as deities of many incarnations of Krishna. At the tail of Govardhan, there's this deity of Nrsingadev. Anybody seen that deity at the tail of Govardhan? No. Because Rupa Goswami explains that at the tail of Govardhan, all the incarnations of Krishna live. So there's this deity of Nrsinga, Ugra Nrsinga, he's about this big. At the tail of Govardhan, Ugra Nrsinga means the Nrsinga that's angry and tearing Hiranyakashipu apart. So that was Vajra. So as far as the queens are concerned, they remembered who they were expansions of in Vrindavan. And there's a very interesting story, hopefully we have time, that Rupa Goswami tells about how the queens or expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. This is a story from Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. So once upon a time, Krishna was in Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, he was having many, many pastimes with the cowherd boys, the gopis, his parents. And then this very, very cruel person came to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. What was his name? His name means not cruel, but he's actually cruel. What's his name? Akrura. He came to take care of Krishna out of Vrindavan. The gopis, they tried to stop Krishna from leaving Vrindavan. They lay on the path. But Krishna and Akrura and the cart just went through back, winding back and forth so they wouldn't run over any of the gopis. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami tells that the gopis, generally, they didn't want to live anymore. Because Lord Chaitanya says, Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pavashayitam sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Feeling the separation from Krishna, a devotee, or a pure devotee, especially Srimati Radharani, feels like a moment is like a whole yuga, billions and billions of years. So the gopis, they didn't want to live. So what happened, let's just tell the story about Srimati Radharani. She jumped into the Jamuna River to end her life. But then she was taken up by the sun god. What's the sun god's name? Suryadeva, also knew this one. Taken up by the sun god. And she had a jewel with her that also was taken by the sun god. That jewel previously had been taken from this demon named the Shankha Chuda demon. The jewel was in the shape of a concho, a shankha. So she and the jewel went up to the sun god and stayed with the sun god for some time. Later on, Krishna was in Dwarka. And he married his first wife. Who was Krishna's first wife? Rukmini. How did he marry her? He was it arranged or what? He what? Kidnapped her. He kidnapped her and he married. That's called a Rakshasa marriage. Did you know that? Krishna's not Rakshasa, but there's different types of marriages. One is called a Rakshasa marriage where the man kidnaps the girl or the girl kidnaps the man. What's the story of the girl kidnapping the man? Ushanani Rudra. What's another story? Subhadra drove the chariot to kidnap Arjuna. So that's a bona fide marriage. Very romantic. So your girls would appreciate that. So you should always ask for someone to kidnap. No, don't do that. And then there's another Gandharva marriage where someone exchanges garlands and they're married. So many different types of marriages. So Rukmini was the first one married to Krishna. And Krishna made a promise to Rukmini that I will never marry anyone else without your permission. Okay, that's a nice promise. Krishna doesn't always keep his promises like that. You have to be careful with Krishna. So then what happened is there was that whole story of the Shaimantaka jewel. That Shaimantaka jewel was given to the devotee of the sun god named Satrajit. Remember? And also, that Shaimantaka jewel was actually the same thing as the Shankachuda's jewel, gem. It's the same one. And the sun god also gave his daughter, or gave Srimati Radharani, to Satrajit. And therefore, Satrajit, when he accepted her as his daughter, gave her the name what? Satyabhama. Interesting story. Any of you hear the story anymore? No, good. It's always good to tell a story nobody's heard. So, So Satyajit, after that whole problem with the Sharmandaka jewel, and Krishna was accused of stealing it and killing Satyajit's brother, this is a story in the Krishna book, Satyajit offered the Sharmandaka jewel to Krishna, and then he offered his daughter, Satyabhama, to Krishna. And Satyabhama is actually considered an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So he offered his daughter to Krishna, but Krishna couldn't accept her. Because why? He made a promise to Rukmini that he wasn't going to accept anybody without her permission. She wasn't ready to give permission at that time. So therefore it was arranged that Satyabhama was kept in a place called Nava Vrindavan. That means in English, New Vrindavan. Not the New Vrindavan in West Virginia. That's not where she was kept. But there was a new Vrindavan that was made by the architect of the demigods, Vishwakarma. And that was right on the other shore, opposite Dwarka. Dwarka is like, was an island, and there was a shore. So that's called Nava Vrindavan. So she was kept there. And she did not know, Satyabhama did not know that Dwarkadish was her Nandanandana or Krishna from Vrindavan. She thought he was just like some big king. And so she wasn't interested in getting married to him either. Because she was so faithful to Krishna, she thought, I don't want anything to do with anyone else, even this king. He may be a great king, he may be wonderful, fantastic, forget him. So she was in this Nava Vrindavan forest, and in this Nava Vrindavan forest, there was a deity of Krishna. A beautiful deity of Krishna, life-size, playing a flute. And when she saw that deity, she began to decorate the deity. Like we decorate the deity here, in Radha-Radha-Kanta. So she was putting jewels on the deity, garlands on the deity, and everything like that. And then she heard some people coming. And she thought, I don't want to be discovered. So she went into the bushes and went away a little bit distance. And that person who was coming was Krishna. And he saw the deity of himself that was so nicely decorated. And he thought, who's decorated this deity so nicely of me? I want to find out. So what he did is he took that deity, took off all the jewelry from the deity and put it on him. And he put the deity in the bushes, so no one could see the deity. And he took the same posture as the deity. They remained very, very still. And to see who was decorating his deity. So then Satyabhama, who was previously Radharani, comes out of the bushes and sees this deity. She controls the deity, and she continues to decorate the deity. And she feels the deity, you know, it's very soft, soft skin, and the deity's moving a little bit. She's thinking, this is really a good deity. Vishwakarma has made a nice deity. But Krishna doesn't realize right now that that's actually Radharani. He thinks that's the deity of Radharani. So he thinks the deity of Radharani is dressing him. And he's thinking that Vishwakarma is such a good architect, he's made a deity of Radharani that moves. That's a pretty interesting story. Just like, if any of you have ever been to Disney World, you have these animatronics that move and things, you know, people move. So it was actually, so both of them were thinking they were both deities. And eventually they realized, hey, that's the real Radharani. Hey, that's the real Krishna. And then, but then Krishna had a problem because he couldn't really get married to her. So, because he had promised Rukmini, he couldn't get married to her. So they had to meet secretly in Nava Vrindavan from that point forward. Sometimes they went into a cave. And on the cave, there were pictures of all their Vrindavan passing, just like you have a photographic album or, of course, nowadays, Facebook or whatever. And they were looking at all the pictures of their pastimes in Vrindavan. One picture was Krishna dancing on the Kaliya serpent. Another picture was Krishna killing the Arishtasura demon. Another picture was Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis. And so, but they came to one picture, and Radharani said, I hate that picture. And that was the picture of a Krura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. He said, I don't like that picture at all. So they were looking at these pictures. But so Rukmini was suspecting something. She was thinking, my husband is meeting with that Satyabhama, I think. So what she did is she gave Satyabhama her clothes and she took Satyabhama's clothes. And she made herself look like Satyabhama. And then Krishna went to Rukmini one time and he said, oh, Satyabhama. And then she knew what had happened. And she got so angry, she said, I'm sending Satyabhama away. So Satyabhama decided to commit suicide again. And she thought, the way I'll commit suicide, the way I'll end my life, is going into the Kaliya Lake. There was an imitation of Kaliya Lake in this Navavrindavan forest. So she went running into the Kaliya Lake. Krishna heard about this, and he was running after her, and she jumped into the lake. But there were no real snakes there. There was only imitations. And she jumped into the lake trying to kill herself, and Krishna jumped in right afterwards, and he grabbed her from behind, and she thought that Krishna's hands were snakes. She said, what? These snakes, why aren't they biting me? Come on, snakes, bite. And they weren't biting. And then she discovered it was Krishna, and then finally, Rukmini accepted that she would marry Krishna, and they lived happily ever after, was a good story. And the other gopis appeared as Jambavati and other wives of Krishna, at least the eight principal wives of Krishna. And of course, Krishna had 16,108 wives, quite a bit, isn't it? 16,108 wives. And Krishna had each and every wife had their own palace, each and every wife had their own children, so it was all arranged very, very nicely. So these wives of Krishna were all expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. And some wives were left-handed, some wives were right-handed. What does that mean? Does anyone know? I mean, some were submissive, the right-handed wives, because that Satyabhama, and if you know Hindi or Sanskrit, Bham means left. So, and right, there's right and left. So, Rukmini, she was a right-handed wife. In other words, she was submissive. When Krishna tried to make her angry, you know what Krishna did? Krishna book has this story. That Krishna told her when she was a grandmother, time to get a divorce. And instead of getting angry, what did she do? Anyone know? She fainted. And Krishna had to get two extra arms to catch her. You have to appear like Lord Vishnu. But Satyabhama was the opposite. She was nagging Krishna sometimes, chastising him sometimes. Just like when Krishna gave Rukmini the Parijata flower, Satyabhama said, you have to get me a whole tree. And so Krishna eventually got the whole Parijata tree and had to fight off all the demigods just because he was being nagged by Satyabhama. So Krishna likes more being nagged by Satyabhama than submissive wife. Because it makes a nice, let's say, taste in the relationship. I'm going to end with just one little thing about rasas. We all know that there's five rasas, right? There's the rasa of just worshipping Krishna, the rasa where you're the servant of Krishna, the rasa where you're the friend of Krishna, the rasa where you're the parent of Krishna, and the rasa where you're the lover of Krishna. So there's also seven indirect rasas. And these flavor, they're like spices. Let's say, for example, you have broccoli. Does anyone here like broccoli? No. Good. So, if you just eat broccoli by itself, what? Not so tasty, is it? Eh, it's alright. It's not so tasty. So instead you put chili peppers on it, asafoetida, what else? Salt. Forgot about that one. Pepper. Butter, you put things on it, and then it becomes tastier, right? Mm. Just like last night, they gave me an artichoke. Do you know what an artichoke is? And so I don't use any of those things usually, so I just eat it by itself. Everybody asks me, how do you eat an artichoke without spices? But I do that. That's a sannyasi's duty. So, to eat artichokes without spices. There are seven indirect tastes that flavor the drekkas, and one of them is anger, another one is shock, ghastliness, another one is humor, that means funniness, and there's all these indirect, and compassion, like that, and so these make the relationship between Krishna and his devotees very tasty, a lot of variety. So there's, that spices up the relationship. So Krishna likes it very much when his wives or girlfriends are unsubmissive to him, talk back to him. Of course, in this world is a world of reflection of the spiritual world, so the same things that are enjoyable in the spiritual world, in this world, are a source of pain. So we have to understand that. So anyway, so these are some of the descriptions regarding Dwarka, the queens in Dwarka, and Krishna's disappearance pastimes from this world. So any questions or comments? Anybody have questions? No? Yeah.
Is
Chandravali
an expansion of
Chandravali? Yeah, Chandravali, right. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. Chandravali is very submissive to Krishna. And Radha has this anger towards Krishna. And Krishna loves to make her angry. You know, Chandravali means many moons in Sanskrit. So sometimes Krishna says to Radharani, oh, my most beloved one, your face is like Chandra. And he always says Chandravali. And just to make her angry. He loves to make her angry. And then what happens is one interesting story told by Rupa Goswami is that she just goes away with her friends, her girlfriends, and she says, don't let that blackish boy come near here again. And the gopis, they stand with sticks to keep Krishna from coming near Radharani. But Krishna is more tricky. So in this story told by Rupa Goswami, Krishna dresses up as a forest girl, the Javali. Actually his name, Vijali, a girl from the forest. Of course, Vijali means knowledge. And so he dresses up as a forest girl, and Radharani has taken shelter of this temple at Gauri Kund. I mean, there's a Gauri or a Durga temple that Radharani is at. And she and her friends don't want Krishna coming near. But Krishna, he dresses up as this girl, and he actually puts the deity's jewelry on him. Gauri's jewelry on. So Radha and Krishna are there, so she thinks it's just her friend, and she embraces him, and of course she's happy, she gives up her anger, happy to see Krishna again. But then what happens is that Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, what's her mother-in-law's name, anyone know? Jatila. And sister-in-law? Kutila. And so-called husband, that's Abhimanyu. They come and they think that Krishna's with Radharani in this temple of Gauri. So they come into the temple and they see Krishna and Radharani, but they don't think it's Krishna. They just see this girl with Radharani. And then when Radharani sees these people, she faints flat out on the ground, so it looks like she's offering obeisances to Krishna, who's dressed as a girl. But these people think that the Krishna who's dressed as a girl is the deity who's come out of the deity. So they think, oh, Radharani is offering obeisances to Gauri. And then Krishna, who is acting as Gauri at that particular point, says, because you have offended Radharani by not trusting her, you're going to be killed, Abhimanyu, in the next day or two. And so they all start shaking and they start praying, oh, Gauri, it's actually Krishna. They're praying, oh, Gauri, Gauri, please save Abhimanyu. Don't let Abhimanyu be killed. And so they're all praying, 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 praying. And Finally, Krishna, who is acting as the deity, says, all right, only if you always trust Radharani and never think that she's with Krishna, then you're going to live. And so Abhimanyu and his mother and sister-in-law say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we offer our humble obeisances unto you, Gopi. Actually, they're offering obeisances to Krishna. And then they leave, and then there's Radha and Krishna together. Nice story. So these are some of the stories from Rupa Goswami's writings. And then when I take devotees around, Govardhan, as I mentioned before, I tell many of these stories to devotees. Any other questions? Yes. Is Radharani? Yeah, when Radharani woke up, she understood what Krishna was doing with the trick. And she played along with the trick. She woke up before they left, and she just said, she also said, oh, Gauri, Gauri, Gauri. Please, yeah, she had, thank you for asking that question. She said, Gauri, please forgive my husband for offending me. Please. And Gauri actually said, because of Radharani's prayers. Gauri, who is Krishna, said, because of Radharani's prayers. No. Nice story. So many nice stories of Krishna's pastimes. And when we become Krishna conscious, we can actually go to the spiritual world and see all these stories directly. A devotee has a spiritual television. You don't need the internet. You can just look at Krishna's pastimes, any of them you want to see at any time in your spiritual television when you become completely Krishna conscious. Okay? Oh, yes. Well, Sajjarama is Radharani, and that's Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Like that. And then you have Lalitan Vishaka, Sarup Damodar, and Ramananda Roy. So they all have, Prabhupada talks about who is who in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also Kavikanapura's Gura Damodesh Deepika mentions the identities of each and every one of the gopis and different people like that. In Chaitanya's pastimes.
And who's Chandravali?
Chandravali would be, I don't remember right now. Chandravali. Mm-hmm. And no, he's Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It's interesting. Well, let's talk about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who's Radharani. But Radharani, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, is actually submissive rather than talking back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he doesn't have the same bhav or the same mood as Srimati Radharani. Although he is Radharani, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken that bhav. So in one sense, you could consider Gadadhar Pandit Goswami to be a combined incarnation. And then you also have, And then Jagadananda Pandit is also considered, in one sense, to be Satchabhama, to be empowered by Satchabhama. Jagadananda Pandit is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Because Jagadananda Pandit is always getting angry at Lord Chaitanya. He offered Lord Chaitanya sandalwood oil, and Lord Chaitanya refused it, and he smashed the sandalwood oil on the ground. And he went into his room, and he wouldn't talk for 3 days until Lord Chaitanya made him cook for him. Then later on, when he went to Vrindavan, and he saw Sanatana Goswami wearing a hat that was given to him by Mayavadi Sannyasi, he took a pot out to hit Sanatana Goswami on the head. So that's Jagannatha Pandit. Anyway, there's so many stories. So many stories. So, any other questions or comments? Yes?
Can you say one final question? We hear a lot of different pastimes of Krishna that aren't found in Krishna, which is Prabhupada's full-time Krishna. So how do we know what's a bona fide story and what are just stories of local people in India,
right?
And how do we not start repeating things that maybe aren't bona fide?
Well, we should ask whoever's telling the story, where does that story come from? Like when you go around Vrindavan, it's a good point. People tell all these village stories, you know, stories like Krishna did this, and you don't know whether it actually happened or not. So the stories I told today were told by Srila Rupa Goswami, specifically in Lalita Madhava, which is the play. If any of you are interested in hearing that play, I've done a dramatic reading of that play, and if you go to iskondesiretree.com, anyone's heard about the website before? You can download those. I've done a dramatic reading of the Yadaka Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and several other books of the Goswamis. And these are bona fide literatures. Prabhupada makes reference to them too. But you have to be, yes, you're right, you have to be careful what stories you tell. And make sure the stories are coming in the cyclic succession. So the Rupa Goswami, of course, is our primary acharya. We are called Rupa Nugas. Everybody remembers that? So his books are bona fide. But you'll find books and other stories that are not bona fide. You know, just village stories. So, yeah. So these are stories by Rupa Goswami. Many, many nice stories that there in Vrindavan. Yes, I'm very careful not to tell those village stories about the Krishna and his associates. Okay, I think it's time to end. We have a very tight schedule, and I guess all of you are going to New Orleans today to enjoy the cool weather there. I'm hurrying out, and have a safe trip. It's nice having the association of all of you, and you're all great devotees. In the future, you'll be leading the Krishna Consciousness Movement and taking care of all the old people like me. All right, all glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.